Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Just want to start this morning with a verse. My verse for today, coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 6, NLT. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. And putting that in context, we know that Jesus, his disciples, were trying their best to keep the little ones from coming to Jesus. And he said, let the children come. Because so many times we forget that God, the kingdom of God, it's for children. It's for us to be like children, open and free to worship, open and free to love God with every fiber of our being. We forget to love God so many times, and we forget to give him the honor and glory due to his name. So just join me this morning as we go into prayer for our children. When someone thinks it's all right to go and murder our children, babies, just at school, enjoying their day, parents at work, knowing that their babies are safe, and then to hear in some cases on the news that somebody has decided to get fame by killing their children. We pray this morning for those in mourning in Texas and all over this country who have had to experience school shootings from Sandy Hook to Florida to Texas and all places in between, starting in Columbine. We ask God to forgive the shooters. Some are dead. Some are living. Some have remorse, some have none. We pray for our families. We pray for the children that have lost their lives. Father God in heaven, we come to you today with heavy hearts. Praying for families today. Praying for families all over this nation who have had to deal with school shootings, and it's been 30 in this nation since January. We ask forgiveness, God, for our callous attitude toward our children. Father God, we ask forgiveness for not keeping our children covered in love and in care as they leave home every day, as they leave for work, as they leave for school, as they leave to go to athletic events, or just leaving to go to the grocery store. We pray for our families, God. We pray for mothers going grocery shopping, grandmothers and grandfathers who just want to grab a gallon of milk and lost their life because someone decided they didn't like the color of their skin and never tried to find out the content of their character. Father God, we lift America and the world today, asking you, Father God, to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, that we will be loving and kind with gentleness and faith and all the other things of the Spirit, that we'll be patient with each other, Lord God. That we won't harm each other with our mouth. We won't harm each other with our hateful hearts, oh God. But Lord God, none of us know our day, our last day, our last hour. Lord, I pray for Danny and Lisa. I pray for Lisa in your loving arms this morning, Lord God, as she sang for you on Sunday morning. Lord God, I ask you to please lift up past the few and it's all of the saints of mine and church family who will be missing a loved one today. Father God, I ask you to bless my grandchild, Leo, who is sick, Lord God. Give your healing power. Let your healing angels go around her today as she gets ready to journey home. Father God, let there be peace in her home as well, oh God. We ask blessings over blessings, oh God. You know that I have to fly out tonight with my family. I ask you, God, to keep her safe. Let no hurt, no harm, no danger come not her plane. Let our pilot be alert, oh God, and the stewardess and all those that work on the plane, that the plane has no mechanical errors, nothing happens to it. Lord, we pray that when we get to our homes, no fear broke in, no fires broke out. And Father God, as I get into this word that you gave me last night, that it's time to go to work, God. It's time for people of faith to go to work, to express our love for you, to stand up and say, I'm not ashamed to be a woman or a man of God. I will lift up the name of Jesus wherever I go. Father God, let us never forget to pray and to lift each other up, because no one is promised tomorrow. We don't know when our last day will be. So, Father, we ask forgiveness if we repent of anything we've said, anything we've done, any unkind thought. Lord God, we ask forgiveness. As I lift up each and every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later, Lord, I ask you to please bless them, to please guide them, to please lead them in the way of Jesus Christ. If they will ask, what must I do to be saved, they will want to come to you. Lord God, I thank you for this word this morning. Because, Lord, I am ready to go to work. As I work for you today, let my faith and the light that you have placed in me shine wherever I go, that those that see me, see you in me. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word, asking you as I do every day to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Believing and trusting in you, God, knowing Jesus as my Savior, I lift up this word today as I go to work. Amen. Whew. Father God, God is good, y'all. I'm filled up this morning, just looking and seeing so much going on, so much anger, so many people fussing and fighting over stupid stuff. It's time to go to work, y'all. Jesus has given each of you an assignment. Whatever your assignment is, it's time to go to work. Whatever God has called you to do, it's time to go to work. Whatever you have as your talent, it's time to go to work. It's time, y'all. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. So let's go to work, y'all. This morning we are coming out of 2 Samuel. And today we're going to talk about David and his last day. David is about to leave us. This is his time, his calling, his departure. But he has some words for his family. He has some words for his people. David has words for us. So let's get going. And it says this, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. Year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel formed protection for them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, whatever you say, I will do for you. Then they answered the king, ask for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel. Let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Geba of Saul, whom the Lord chose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. So the king took Armani and Mephibosheth, the two sons of Rahab, the daughter of Aiah, whom he bore to Saul, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up from Adrel, the son of Bezali, the Meholahite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. And they hanged them on the hill before the Lord till they fell. All 7 together were put to death in the days of harvest, in the days, first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now Rahab, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the last rain poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rahab, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of David, Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Bethshan. Because remember, when Saul and Jonathan died, they cut off their heads and put their bodies on the outside of the wall, and the men of Saul, the men came and took them down, and so they were taken to Gibeah, and so they wanted to bury them. So let's see what happens here. From Jabesh, Gilead is where they took them, who had stolen from the streets of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them up after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gibeah. So he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there. And they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. After that, God heeded the prayer for the land. And understand, sometimes things are going on because you need to make restitution. You need to go to work and make restitution. Maybe some of the things that are happening all over this world are because there are things that need reparations that need to be made. for those that you hurt. In this case, Saul tried to annihilate a people that were under God's protection because he got all jealous thinking he was doing God's work. But he was not. He did not consult the prophet. He did not consult the Lord. He just went to work without understanding this was not your job. Sometimes we want to go to work in positions that don't belong to us. They're not your position. You got to stay in position. As they say, you got to stay in your lane. But Saul got out of his lane to kill a people that were under God's protection, causing a famine. And as we continue to the, and when the Philistines were at war against Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint when Ishbab the Nob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Bahashad, the son of Zerah, came in to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now it happened afterwards that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabbakai, the Hushite, killed Sapha, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elihan, the son of Jerahmeel, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's wing. Yet again, there was war at Gath, there where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he divided Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, killed him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. Chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, and y'all know David could tear up some words. This man who wrote the song. And when you hear the words of David, you hum them in your mind because you hear music. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies when the waves of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrow of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devoured fire, devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. But they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord is delighting in all of us today. Are you accepting it into your life? How great is our God? And then in verse 21, David says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him. I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyes. You know, folks want to talk about David. Well, you know, he was an adulterer. He was a this and that. But I tell you one thing, David loved God. He loved God with every fiber of his being. He loved God. Do we love God? Are we willing to go to work? David went to work with things for God. David did everything he was asked to do for God. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people. But your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. But you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. This morning on my devotional call that I do before I come on here. This morning, Pastor Wilson was singing this, but I will trust you. And as I trust him, if only we will trust him, we got to trust God in everything we do, knowing that he will make our crooked way straight. Trust him. Only if we trust him, I will trust you. We got to have I will trust you in our heart. When it's time to go to work, trust in him. He will guide you to your perfect position. Hallelujah. And I love this word in verse 32. But who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under my feet. So my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Woo! Come on now. They have fallen under my feet. David did not play. He told it like it was, and like it was, that is what it was. David loved God, and he did what he was asked to do. David went to work. David did what he was called to do. Are you working today? Are you working today? But are you working today for the Lord? Are you working today for the Lord? Are you in your assignment? Oh, Jesus. Are you in your assignment? Or are you out of line? Ooh, hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. Are you going to work today for the Lord? Are you going to work today? Are you going to work today for the Lord? Are you going? God is calling us out of our darkness, out of our I'm just going to roll over. I'm going back to sleep. That's actually, are you going to work for the Lord? Are you having an spirit today? Are you having an, I just want to rest. Because today is not your day off. It's not your day off. We must pray, family. We got a lot of prayer to do. Today is not your day off. Today is not your day to lay around. Today is your day to go to work. Because we got work to do, men and women of God. We got work to do for the Lord. We got work to do. We got things to do for God. My heart is heavy. My heart is heavy. As I think about our children, you know, God called me when I first was called into children ministry. And I'm back in. I took a hiatus, but I'm back in children ministry because it is a calling, just like working with seniors is my calling. And I say this, we have got to pray. We've got to lift each other up. All this divisiveness that has gone into this world based on nationality, on sexual preference, on everything you can imagine. And most of it is people's personal business that we have in all these things about. All this stuff about stuff that we don't control. We have no business trying to control, because the bottom line is God will be the judge of us all. God will be in charge of everything. And as we sit on our high horses judging everything and everybody, understand God will be judging our work. Did you go to work for God, or did you get out of your lane thinking you was working for God when in fact you was creating confusion and causing people to run from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Folks running in the opposite direction because they don't want to be like you. Is your light shining today? Are you at work for God? And as we continue in this word this morning, the word says in verse 36, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. David, you better speak it. But you have armed me with strength for the battle. But we know the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the neck of my enemies so that I destroy those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord. But he did not answer them. When I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth, I trodden on them like dirt in the street, and I bred them out. David's like, don't play. I know who my daddy is. I know who's fighting my battles. I know that this is done because my daddy said so. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people, kept me at the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideout. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Oh, hallelujah. I got to read that again. The Lord lives. You know, I always say, he lives, he lives, he lives to me today. You ask me how I know he lives. Whew. He lives within my heart. God lives within our heart. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation, the rock of your salvation, the rock of our salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. We thank you, God, for this word this morning. And as we get into the Psalms today, but first we'll go back and hit a couple of life lessons for Dr. Stanley. As we have three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, life lessons from 2 Samuel chapter 21 through chapter 22. And it says, this is 2 Samuel 21:1, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house killed the Gibeonites. Saul, in his mistaken zeal, had violated a covenant made in God's name in Joshua chapter 9, verse 16 through 21. And Israel paid for it. We reap what we sow more than we sow, and later than we sow. Ooh, time to go to work. Time for the sowing. And as we look at life's lessons in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 18, he delivered me from my strong enemies, from those who hated me, but they were too strong. Our enemies are often too strong for us, but they are never too strong for the Lord. As Isaiah 54 and 7 promises, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You better understand who you with. Who do you work for? You got the Lord on your side. When you go to work for God, you work for the best employer in the universe. Hallelujah. Not just the planet, not just the city, not just the state, not just the country, but the universe. Come on now. 2 Samuel 22 and 28. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. Throughout Scripture, God tells us that he will save the humble, but oppose the proud. You better understand, are you walking proud today, or do you have a humble heart? The proud try to put themselves in God's place, and that he will never allow. So I'm saying to all those folks out there worshiping people and people thinking they are above God, you better ask somebody, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to get a reality check. There's only one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one body. Hallelujah. We got to know who we are and who we belong to. And as we continue in our word this morning, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a psalm, let God arise. I love this. This is a psalm, too. And let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him from rise on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. Come on now. I'm right there in both of those categories. Is God in his holy habitation? God sends the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound in prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. As we continue, Psalm 68 and 6, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. God designed the church to be our greater family. Jesus said, everyone who has left house or brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a wife, our children, our land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, Matthew 19:29. Though we shouldn't forsake our own family, we can always find comfort and support in the church. And we must be able to find comfort and support in the church. Understand, so many times the church is not where we go. We go everywhere. Go down to Sister Susan's house, over to Boo Boo and then over to down the street, down to Dante and Shay's house. And we go everywhere but to the house of God. And that's the only place that you need to be. You need to go visit the Lord at his house. That's where you need to go down the street, to the church house, and watch God change your life. And as we continue in Proverbs 17:24, a wise servant will rule over a son who causes shame and will share an inheritance among the brothers. The refining pot is the silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Do you not understand? Your heart is being tested today. As we see all the horribleness going on in this country, all the horribleness going on this planet, all the horribleness going on in every nation of the world. And we say, Lord, why? And I just believe God is taking his good things home. He's taking his children home a little at a time. And he's also pulling up weeds, because some of the weeds are going into the fire. But a whole lot of the weeds are being stored for the harvest that is to come. This says an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. And you know what? Let's call it straight. There are those who love to give the teeth. Let's have teeth. Because they want to talk about somebody. I heard that such and such and such. You heard it, but you don't know if it's true. So why repeat what you heard? Just keep it behind the teeth and let God let out what needs to be let out. I don't care, and I'm just being honest. Call me whatever, but I don't care what's going on in Kim Kardashian's life. That's between Kim Kardashian and God. I don't care who this person or that person is dating. I pray for Will Smith. I am not going to vilify him and talk about him. I pray for Chris Rock that he is able to forgive. I pray that families are able to be forgiven and to come back together as one. I pray that God will heal this nation, that it will not matter what you look like on the outside, but what will be important is what you look like on the inside. Are you a child of God? Are you walking in righteousness? Are you walking in hope of a future? Are you putting your trust in God? Are you going to work? Because it's time to go to work this morning. Don't be late, because God will not be, and he will not tolerate and not being at your assignment. In John 8:28-59, which is where our title comes from, is Jesus. And Jesus being judged because he did a miracle on the Sabbath. Whew, let's get into our word this morning, y'all. Come and join me again in John 8:28-59, and then we're wrapping it up. And it says this: when Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Y'all caught it. I am. Again, I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he sent me. He is me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believed in him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Do you believe in him today? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Can y'all say it with me? Come on, one more time. Then Jesus said that highlightable, that red letter word. And when Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, all you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the what? The truth. And the what? The truth shall make you free. Are you ready to get free today? Are you ready to go to work today? Then abide in Jesus. Abide in his word. Become his disciple. Ooh, hallelujah. And then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. It's time to go to work as a free man. Hallelujah. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the work of Abraham. Oh, it's time to go to work. You would do the work of your father. Come on now. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? You know, Jesus probably would say, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Because folks was acting just ugly. Because you are not able to listen to my words, you are of your father, the devil. You better speak it. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. But he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Come on now. Therefore, I'm telling it again, you do not hear because you are not of God. And the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? They done put him in a demon's place. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges most assuredly. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophet, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? You know what? The devil didn't like that. He really didn't. Come on now. You know you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you know you're working the work you're called to do. When the enemy said, oh, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. But we're going to say it anyway. What did it say? Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and a prophet. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors you, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I said to you before Abraham was, I am. Y'all not get all excited. And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And we're going to go back real quick to the life lesson. And it says this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus offended his listeners when he made this statement because they considered themselves in bondage to no one. But Jesus insisted that only faith in him could free anyone from the power of sin. Praise the Lord. And as we go up, what does it mean to be set free in Christ? When you are going to work for the Lord, you know where you belong. You know who you belong to. You know what you got to do. You know, and we got to go to work. You know, I inadvertently put tomorrow's lesson down for today, but that's all right. You know, we're going to go to it again. But today is really, it's time to go to work in the Lord as well. So we're going to be going to work again tomorrow. And I just wanted to say, God has us covered from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Jesus went to work right there. And he let everybody know, I am. I am. And I am went to work. And so we got to go to work too. And it doesn't matter the day, because this is not your off day. This is a time to go to work for the Lord. And as we go back into our word this morning, what does it mean to be set free in Christ? Jesus had quite an audience that day. The crowds had just witnessed an intense scene when the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. That was at the beginning of our lesson on yesterday. They saw Jesus liberating love. Liberating love and actually looked at her and said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. The woman walked away forgiven, free, and safe from certain doom. A little later, Jesus proclaimed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. Indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Consider these verses and believe its emancipation proclamation. In verses 34 through 36, Jesus explains more of what he means. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. On the surface, the sound very simple, and in the foundational sense, it is. But it's one thing to believe that Jesus can set you free from patterns of sin. It's quite another to experience the freedom in your own life. Come on now. Are you free today? Are you free to go to work? Most of us have difficulty in the action stage of belief. The link between knowing by intellect and knowing by experience, you are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, but that does not mean that you leap immediately into full understanding of your faith. Your personal response to Jesus' commands determines whether you will be able to live the joys of salvation with the freedom and exhilaration of learning to say no to daily sins. A man in prison can receive a signed pardon, and the warden can unlock the jail door. But the man has to put one foot in front of the other and walk outside those prison walls. What can you do to begin living in the freedom Christ purchased for you on the cross? There is no formula for discovering the richness of his truth. But by obeying Christ, you'll be on the road to the fresh, liberating life he designed for you. Always, when you obey God, you can count on watching him reveal exciting new things. Remember, the key to crossing the bridge between belief and experience is obedience. You must take the step of faith and do what he said. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus said in verse 8, 58 of chapter 8. Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. This may be the clearest claim Jesus ever made to be God in the flesh. He called himself by the divine name, I am. We saw it in Exodus chapter 3 and Isaiah 42, and said that he existed long before Abraham lived. Who are you working for today? Are you working for the Lord today? Are you giving over whatever it is that you're asked to do? Are you doing it? Are you doing what you want to do today? We got to do what we are called to do. We got to go to work. And again, the Lord is calling us for such a time as this. Are you ready to go to work? Are you ready to love God with all your heart? Are you ready to do what he has called you to do today? Are you ready to be a servant? Are you ready? Because God is ready for us. He is looking to us today. He is wanting us to walk in his righteousness. He is wanting us to be the best we can be. He is wanting us to know who we belong to. We belong to Jesus, and it's time to go to work. We are his servants, and it's time to go to work. We must have faith. It is time to go to work. We must be believers in the Lord. We must know that we are called. We are chosen. We are willing workers. Are you a willing worker for the Lord today? Are you wanting to stand up and be counted among those that know who Jesus is? He said, I was there. Hallelujah. He said, I am. I know that I know that I know that what he said is the truth. He is the great I am, and we are his humble children. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Thank you, Lord, for his grace. Thank you, Lord, for his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, his grace, and all the things that only Jesus can do. He has done for us. We thank you, God, that he is I am, and that he has called us to go to work for him. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. I'm all ready. I'm ready, Jesus. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to go to work for you. Thank you for your love and your kindness, for your gentleness, for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Give God honor today. Give God praise today. Get up. Get ready. Go to work for the Lord today. Because our time is limited. And we got work to do. Our time is limited. And we have work to do. So I just say this morning, thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for just being who you are. Awesome men and women of God. I just thank God for you, for all that he does. And for just knowing that you are loved by God, you know, and that he wants to love you. He wants to be there for you. He wants you to know that God is in charge of everything. And all you have to do is trust in him. Are you trusting him today? Are you giving everything that you have to him today? Are you saying, Jesus, I give myself away. Use me. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to be your servant. I'm ready to do what you have called me to do. Give Jesus your heart today. If you have not been saved, today is a good day for salvation. Today is a good day to be saved. Today is God's day. And all I can say is you are loved by God. He loves you more than you can imagine. He loves you more than anything. Trust in him today. And know that you are God's son and his daughter, and that he wants the best for you. It's time to go to work, y'all. And this is just part one. We got part two tomorrow. And, you know, we're going to go to work, and it's going to be, you don't have a day off today. I'm sorry. Your day off was on yesterday, but today it's time to go to work. So thank you so much. Before we get out of here this morning, we'll be just a minute over because I want to give a word from our sister in Christ. And for those that have to leave at 8 o'clock, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And a word to go by for this morning is this. Good morning. When God speaks to you, he does so from where you are going, not where you are. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. It's a wrap for those that are leaving us this morning at 8 o'clock. But I have a prayer for those that can stay a little bit longer, as I have got a prayer for us for today. And all it is simply this. Better than winning. And it says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Philippians 2 and 3, NCV version, humble God. Your instructions for a good life are so different than the world's advice. Instead of letting my own interest and pride guide me, you instruct that honoring others above myself is the way to live. I trust your wisdom. You know what you're doing. Lord, when I'm caught up in my own way, make plans for my future. Keep me soft in your love that leads me back to your side. If faced with the choice of honoring someone else or holding on to something, I feel the right to have my choice honored. Jesus, you built margin into my life, and you didn't serve your own whims or desires. I want to learn the same, to live like you did, Jesus. Humble King, the example of your life is a beautiful, though, though difficult model to follow. With your love filling and strengthening me, I can do even the hardest thing. And this is the question today. Is honoring someone else over your own agenda worth it for you? And that is it for this morning. It's time to go to work. Have a good day, family. Be blessed. Keep my family in prayer as we fly out this evening, going to our destination. I thank God for you. I praise God. I give him honor and I give him glory. Keep families in prayer this morning that have lost loved ones, and pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for our Congress. Pray for all those that are in charge of cities, states, counties. Just pray. Pray that God touches hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that say they know him, that they will truly know him and be humble. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up this word, and I lift up everyone that is listening today, live or later. In Jesus' name, keep them all covered by your blood. Amen. It's a wrap, family. Have a great day.